So you have, I think a crucial to understanding Ai Weiwei is that we have a person who doesn't see a boundary between art and politics, between art and social justice, between art and his own life. You know, in the West, we often, in America, oftentimes feel very comfortable drawing lines like Paul is now the, you know, interviewer, Paul is now the poet, Paul is now the, you know, whatever it is. And we feel fine doing that. And he just has absolutely zero interest in it. And when you look at his work again and again, you'll see that he just plows through that line. He's obliterating those lines again and again and again. So there he was. You can imagine they are trying to collect this information in the face of considerable amount of opposition. And in the rubble of these collapsed schools, he sees all this rebar. You know, these chunks of completely bent and contorted rebar. And there's scrap metal people that are going through there, and they're pulling that metal out to sell on the secondary market. So he went and he just proceeded to purchase the rebar from these collapsed schools. That's the artist's mind beginning to work, the sort of the material philosopher. He's a very much of a material philosopher type of mind, I think. He bought like 240 tons of rebar and had it shipped to his studio in Beijing and began to work with that, began to think about that, think about how this material can be some sort of material salvaged from this earthquake, and how can that be used to begin to tell a story. He does his storytelling, I think, in a really, really interesting way. And that is, he doesn't tell you the story. He produces a set of elements, and then he just hands those to you. And you get to forge what that story is. And so in this particular piece we have, it's called Case and Rebar. You have a set of 8 cases. Some of them are closed. Some of them are open, and you're looking down into them to see the rebar. And some of them have been closed, but they have the rebar sitting up on top of them. And his instruction to me was he wanted me to strike a balance between, you know, open, closed, and closed with the rebar on top. So this is what I've done, and the backdrop that is behind here is that name list. And the rebar isn't rebar. So what you're looking
facsimile.
At, it's a exact replica carved out of marble. So what you're looking at is not cast. It's actually been carved. And so if you are a stone carver, you will immediately gasp. You're like, oh my God, how did someone take marble and carve it into these thin, twisting forms, snake-like forms of rebar? And you get in there and you look closely, and the rebar is absorbing light. They're glowing here in this sort of semi-dark room, sort of, you know, have each one of them lit, spotlit. So this is an incredible material transformation. So this material, rebar, which is made out of iron, is incredibly dense. It's incredibly malleable. You can twist and bend rebar all day long, and it won't break. If I were to take this, I could very easily snap these pieces, just like that. So he's taken something very dense and very malleable, and he's inverted it, and he's turned it into an object of light and an object of fragility. You know, so there's one story. There's one element. You get to think about what that sort of just simple material transformation means. And then why choose marble? You know, marble, of course, is one of our primary funerary materials. We use it to make all sorts of headstones. We use it to make
mausoleums,
things like that. And so there's this potential dialogue there, which is made that much stronger, that much more evocative when he delivers a single detail. The marble of these was sourced from the same quarries that were used to source the marble for Mao Zedong's mausoleum, which is in Tiananmen Square. So what does that mean? Right? Again, he's not going to tell you. You're going to make that decision yourself as to what kind of a statement is there. Is this a statement of fundamental equality? Is this a statement of, you know, some sort of hierarchical injustice? Were these buildings, was the ignoring of earthquake code something which was promoted by the nature of the Chinese state and thereby Mao? You can make whatever And however circuitous and monumental of an argument you might want to make.
But the mind is always searching for meaning. And so we find our own meaning when we come here. We project our own onto this. And one of the immediate things that we get, that I get when I come into this room, is that is evocative of a human spine as well.
There you go. Yeah. So you're starting to make your story. And the piece is called Case in Rebar. But I think when you look at these cases, it's pretty hard not to see these cases as something a little bit more than a case.
Right.
And these pieces, because they're human in scale, and they're child size and scale, you can see each one of them is potentially a twisted spine that had been, destroyed in an earthquake.